Today's program is brought to you by S. Wallace Edwards & Sons, third-generation cure masters producing the country's best dry-cured and aged hams, bacon, and sausage. For more information, visit edwardsvaham.com.
I'm Greg Bresnitz.
And I'm Darren Bresnitz. We're the host of Snacky Tunes.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn.
If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Welcome to Native on Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Brianna Kurtz. Each week, this show features a U.S. or international location and uses food and drink as a gateway to explore and celebrate the gastronomic and economic virtues of a location. Part travel show, part current affairs, Native recognizes the fact that food culture is everywhere and takes the opportunity to examine this relationship by using the eyes, ears, and taste buds of farmers, chefs, journalists, and the like. This week, I am joined by part of the team from Palmetto Bluff, located in Bluffton, South Carolina, to help me explore the idyllic and rich landscape of what is fondly referred to as the Lowcountry. Before we dive in, let's say hello to my guests for today, Courtney Hampson, Regional Marketing Manager for Crescent Communities, and Jay Whaley, Director of the Palmetto Bluff Conservancy. Hello to you both. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Hi, thanks.
Thanks for having us.
Well, I grew up in Charleston, South Carolina, just about an hour north of Bluffton, and I know we all have one thing in common, and that is our love for the area. So let me start by asking you, Courtney, from an operational standpoint, what is Palmetto Bluff?
So Palmetto Bluff is a 20,000-acre stretch of land. So to put it in perspective, it's 1.5 times the size of Manhattan, which seems like a daunting number, but primarily it's conservation preserve and maritime forest, and it's marsh and it's wetlands, and Crescent Communities is developing it as a community, a thoughtfully developed community where conservation and the mission of Jay's organization really drive everything that we do.
And can you describe the landscape for me? We mentioned the location, obviously, in Bluffton, but the weather and the wetlands and the beaches, et cetera.
I'll let Jay take that.
Okay.
All right. I sure will. Well, we're right here on the coastal plain, and we have a very diverse piece of property here. We have marshes. We have, of course, saltwater marshes. We have freshwater marshes. We have a multitude of different habitats, anywhere from maritime forest right on into pine flatwoods. The bluff is full of all kind of native species. The animals range from everything to the smallest, from the smallest shrew right on up to the white-tailed deer and the eastern wild turkey. It's really not only a diverse landscape, but it's also a very species-rich environment as well.
And let's go.
Our property is surrounded by 32 miles of riverfront, so water certainly defines a lot of what we do.
Excellent. And I do want to talk more about that conservancy, but let's go back real quick about talk about the history of the area. Obviously, the South has a very rich history, and Palmetto Bluff, I guess I want to look at it from two perspectives, the history of the area and then how Palmetto Bluff came to be.
Okay, Courtney, you want me to take that?
Yeah, go for it.
Right.
Jay has more history at Palmetto Bluff.
So originally, Palmetto Bluff was made up of about 13 working plantations, and this is as far back as pre-Civil War. Now, Palmetto Bluff, after the Civil War, was finally all of the 13 plantations were bought by one owner, and that one owner sold it to the Wilson family. The Wilsons were the ones that built the big mansion that the ruins are right here in the middle of the square in town. And after the Wilsons got it, then the Varnes took it over. And when the Varnes had the place, the Varnes used it for turpentine and cattle use. So we had free-ranging cattle all throughout the woods here on Palmetto Bluff. After the Varnes, the Union Camp Corporation at the time was known as Union Bag Corporation, because that's all they made at the time were bags out of the Savannah plant. They bought this piece of property, and they utilized it for one, hunting, fishing, and also timber production to run the mill. Of course, paper products.
Well, it sounds
now,
like
Union Camp. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, please continue.
All right. Union Camp ran a hunting preserve here, and basically what we were public relations for our clients, anybody that did business with Union Camp. And at one time, we'd run over 3,000 hunters through here a year. After Union Camp was bought out by International Paper, International Paper then sold us to a private family. And after that, Crescent came into the picture, and we've been with Crescent ever since.
Wow. That
really
sounds
a quick history, but that's pretty well it.
The long history.
The short version, yeah. And it really sounds like it does have a history in, like you said, the hunting and the fishing. So that leads right into, I think, the conservancy of today. So if you could maybe speak a little bit, Jay, about the mission of the conservancy and what you do day to day to serve that mission.
Absolutely. So the Palmetto Bluff Conservancy was set up, and this to me is this speaks a lot about the people that we work for and the vision that they have for this property. Palmetto Bluff's always been blessed with having really good managers, really good stewards of the land. They've always known, right from the 13 plantations right on up till now, they've always known that Palmetto Bluff was a special place, a gem. And they've always done really well at managing this area. Now, when Crescent got Palmetto Bluff, they knew that it was a gem as well. But they're also a developer, so they move in and they develop the land. Well, they wanted to make sure that they had safeguards in place to ensure that even though we were going to develop, we were going to do it in such a way that the development and our natural environment can coincide in harmony. The way they did that was they set up safeguards. The main safeguard is the Palmetto Bluff Conservancy. My main task every day, the Conservancy's main task every day, is to make sure that the development and our natural world can coincide in harmony. Now, the way we do that is we do a lot of education and outreach, over 50 events, lectures, field trips a year, to really get our property owners and end guests really in tune with the land. We also do outreach and education to all of our staff here, whether it be sales, whether it be development. We work as part of the development team. We are part of the design review board, and we also work with sales. We manage the 20,000 acres for wildlife and for forestry purposes still. And we also do a lot of environmental research. Now, the environmental research that we do, I can name them all off. It's going to take a while.
How about just like maybe a couple that you that are ongoing right now that you're really excited about?
Okay, all right. So our alligator research is always ongoing, and basically we know that we're building very good habitat for the alligators, so that's one of the species that we're going to study. Anything that we study is what we call indicator species, and that's a species that is going to be affected first by development, mm-hmm. whether to the good or to the bad. So alligators, of course, you build it, they're going to come. We also do bluebird research. The bluebird research has shown us that if you open up park-like areas, then you're going to have a lot more bluebirds, which is great. We've done rattlesnake research. The rattlesnake research shows us that habitat fragmentation is very bad on that species. Now we're doing swallowtail kite research. We're doing great horned owl research. And I'm sure I've left one out. But
that's excellent. Just doing work for those species and that ecosystem that is very important to the area in the low country, of course. So, well, let's move on just a little bit. And, Courtney, I'll ask you, 20,000 acres, wow. And I imagine with all of the projects and the operations that Palmetto Bluff consists of, how important is the organization to the local economy, and how has it grown over maybe the last 10 years to make the area a better place?
Sure. So about 10 or 12 years ago, Palmetto Bluff was actually annexed into the town of Bluffton, South Carolina, which at the time was only 1 square mile. It's very different now. 10 years is about when I moved here from New Jersey, seen a lot of changes. But I think what's most interesting is the impact that Palmetto Bluff has had. We have more than 400 employees at Palmetto Bluff. Most of them live here locally in Bluffton or Hilton Head, or across the river in Savannah. In addition to our employees who work either for the developer Crescent or the Inn or other contractors, we have builders and architects and land planners and landscapers who are out here on a daily basis. So what we've always tried to do is create a place, and so it's not just about who lives here full-time at Palmetto Bluff or who's staying at the Inn, but it's also about being a part of the community here in Bluffton in the Lowcountry. We are, you know, open to the public, and so we create programming so that anyone can come in for an hour or for an afternoon and really experience kind of the best of the Lowcountry, whether they're eating at one of our restaurants, shopping at one of our shops, sitting on a dock and just watching, you know, a dolphin swim by, attending one of our events, a summer concert. So when I think about, you know, who we want to be a part of this, I think it's the mix of the people who are local, the people who live here, and the people who are visiting from elsewhere that really make this place special and lets us create really interesting connections among those different audiences.
Yeah, it really sounds like there's a little something for everyone. But one thing is everyone gets hungry. So let's talk about the food scene a little bit. As everyone knows, the South has a beautiful and very rich food heritage. So can we talk about maybe some of the restaurants on Palmetto Bluff in the area and how maybe they serve that heritage, how they speak to it in their offerings?
Sure. I think what's really great, so we have 4 restaurants on property. One more casual, which really sees a lot of the local traffic for breakfast and for lunch. We have a more formal dining establishment that's part of the Inn at Palmetto Bluff. We have a grill with our golf course, and then the Canoe Club, which is really kind of coastal cuisine. And the common thread between all of them, our executive chef really works to find artisan products and local products. We're actually, we have a farm that's right next to Palmetto Bluff where Brandon stops, that's our chef, often, and works with Ryan, who's the farmer who basically lives next door. We also think of the water as a farm. One of my favorite stories and connections that we have is with Jared Mayhew, who's a local oysterman. He actually is an Army veteran from Hilton Head, went away, served, was deployed, came back, and was trying to figure out what he wanted to do. And a local nonprofit organization called Honor Our Heroes actually made him a small grant to start a business, and he decided he wanted to be an oysterman. So he literally pulled his boat up to one of our docks one day, walked into the kitchen, and said to the chef, "Would you buy my oysters?" And Brandon said, "Why not? Let's try it." And now he is our primary source for oysters. In fact, next week we have a very large food and wine event here at Palmetto Bluff, and he will deliver more than 5,000 oysters over the course of the week. And his business has really just burgeoned because he thinks about, you know, the water as his farm and who his local customers are, and we think of him as one of our, you know, farmers, and it's just great to have that connection. We know the person who's delivering and bringing us the food, and he's literally pulling up to the dock. So you may see him pull up, and what he brings is on the plate that night.
Excellent. And, yeah, you definitely can't have the South without oysters. So
yes,
very
and
important.
It's prime oyster season right now. So,
well, maybe you could both speak to this about the importance of the water. I know you have the 3 big rivers coming into the area. You said a large acreage of coastline. And then just maybe, Jay, if you want to speak about the sustainability of the maritime culture there as far as the conservancy is concerned, and maybe Courtney as well.
Okay, I'll start, Courtney, if you don't mind.
Yeah, go.
We are surrounded on 3 sides by water. We have the May River, which is on our northern end of the property, and we have Collie Creek, which runs our eastern edge, and then it runs into the Cooper River, and the Cooper River then runs into the New River. And so that borders us on three sides. So we, if you look at us on a map, we look like a peninsula. The May River is one of the most pristine saltwater rivers in South Carolina, and the oysters and the fish that live there are just delicious. It's amazing. The clarity of the water, knowing and all the different fish species that are living there. We have trout, redfish, all kind of sport fishing opportunities. When you get around on the Collie Creek side, again, pristine. You have all your shale beds running up the May River and Collie Creek. And when you get around on the New River side, you have some shale beds, but it's still a brackish water environment. Now, the way we protect the May River and all of our other river systems is we follow what we call the RPOD, which is the River Protection Overlay District. And even if somebody buys a lot right on, you know, buys a lot on that has a waterfront view, with 100 foot from the high water mark back into the lot, all of that area is a sacred buffer. And some of the plants can be lowered and limbed up, so you do get your views, but you can't just take it out. There's nowhere out here that you're going to find grass down to the water's edge like you would in other places. And what that does is our root systems that are in that area filter any kind of pollution that might be coming off of the lot itself. Now, we also have all of the owners make sure in their building plans that, of course, we have to have positive runoff away from these river systems, mm-hmm. creek systems, any kind of system, whether it be a creek or an old drainage ditch that might run to one of these rivers is protected. And as far as conservancy and sustainability, that's a major part of what we do out here to protect those areas.
Excellent. Well,
part of our development agreement with the town of Bluffton also was that there would be no private docks.
Mm. Yes.
So none of our property owners who have an edge property or riverfront property can build a private dock. And in the town of Bluffton, most of the docks are privately owned, and there's only a few public docks and public access to the May River, and one of them is here at Palmetto Bluff.
Yep.
I see. Well, it sounds like real heaven for any fishermen, and really that efforts have been made to balance the to find balance between nature and the habitants there. So I think that's a good thing for everyone, trying to keep it sustainable and beautiful for all the generations to come, for sure. So we are going to take a quick break, but stay with us. When we come back, we'll be learning more about the South Carolina Lowcountry with Courtney and Jay from Palmetto Bluff.
You are listening to Burgundy by The Hollows.
The following program was brought to you by S. Wallace Edwards & Sons. Edwards Suriano hams are aged to perfection for no less than 400 days and hickory smoked to achieve a deep mahogany color. The Edwards name is well known for its world-class aged and cured meats. Their exclusive curing and aging recipe produces a unique flavor profile that enhances the quality characteristics of Berkshire pork. Optimum amounts of pure white fat marbling contribute to a flavor that's a delicate, perfect balance between sweet and salty. For more information, visit edwardsvaham.com.
Hey, my name is Betsy Andrews, executive editor of Severa Magazine, and I am hanging out at the coolest, most delicious place in the world, heritageradionetwork.org.
All right, we are back. I'm Brianna Kurtz, and you're listening to Native on Heritage Radio. I'm talking to Courtney Hampson and Jay Whaley of Palmetto Bluff. So, Courtney, you mentioned you have some exciting events coming up soon at Palmetto Bluff. So let's dive into that. What is going on right now in the area? What's coming up?
Right. So next week is our Music to Your Mouth Food and Wine Festival at Palmetto Bluff. We do 19 events in 5 days.
Oh, my goodness.
So this week is a little bit of a frenzy. I have to tell everybody, my door is closed. Please don't come in for the next hour. We started Music to Your Mouth about 8 years ago. And really, as a new community, trying to figure out a way to bring people together. At the time, we didn't have a lot of full-time residents. And we were trying to figure out what's the connector. And for me, it's always been food. And so we kind of tossed around the idea of starting a food and wine event, and we did. We started really small. We did a weekend event. About 150 people spent Friday through Sunday with us, and we had about 15 chefs who joined us and a couple winemakers, and we thought, wow, this was really successful. Congratulations, us. and I think looking back now, we really had no idea how this would grow and what it would become. There's a team of about five of us from both the developer side and the resort side who work together kind of cultivating what this will be. And so, as I said, it's grown immensely from two events 8 years ago to 19. We have small events. That might be an intimate boat cruise with Julian Van Winkle from Pappy Van Winkle. We send him and 18 guests out on a cruise on the May River. We do a grand tasting event with 35 chefs, 40 winemakers and distillers, six brewers who are all sharing their signature dish. This year we're doing a sommelier smackdown where we actually have our somm, Thaddeus Miller, will go head-to-head with Andy Chabot from Blackberry Farm, and they each pair a glass of wine with each course of the meal. So we always like to say, you know, it's a marathon, not a sprint. So it's fun to watch people who are attending for the first time who haven't quite gotten the groove of how fast the food and drink comes. But what's been really lovely for us is watching it grow and watching how close the food community is. So when we started inviting chefs years ago, we found that they all always have somebody in common. It's like 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon, but 6 degrees of maybe Sean Brock or another chef. everybody knows everybody. And so that's really the success of our event is really based on relationships and the people who have helped us. So connections with farmers, chefs, organizations like the James Beard Foundation and the Southern Foodways Alliance. They just add so much to our event, and we realized really early on this event really isn't about Palmetto Bluff. It's about celebrating Southern food and the culture and the connections that are forged through food of place, and that for us it's bringing these different people together and letting somebody from out of town interact and have a real authentic experience. No matter how, we only sell tickets based on a ratio, so there will never be an event where there's more than 18 guests to one winemaker, chef, distiller, artisan, because we really want people to have a personal experience, be able to have a conversation with a chef or a winemaker and say, you know, why cracked pepper or whatever the ingredient might be, and not feel like we're, you know, herding them through a line to get a plate of food and they don't know what's on the plate. So we've been really cautious and worked to grow this event slow and the right way with the right partners. And it's the perfect time of year. It's always the week before Thanksgiving, and it lets us show off the property to, you know, thousands of people, and we're very proud of it. It's been very interesting to watch and a little humbling, actually.
Excellent. Well, you talked about bringing outsiders in, and I think that, you know, definitely includes the hosts that you mentioned, chefs. You have Sarah Simmons, and she's from New York. You know, Mike Latta, yep, and Josh Keeler, who are two of my favorite Charleston chefs. You have Steven Satterfield from Atlanta. You have several New Orleans, mm-hmm, chefs. So it's really not, like you said, it's not about Palmetto Bluff in this one area of the South. It's really about bringing people who love Southern food culture from all over the country into the South for this amazing 5-day event. So what about the music side? Music to Your Mouth. So what's that first part?
Right. So, I mean, that really started as a, you know, fun name. And we honestly didn't pay that much attention to the music until the last few years when, as we think about culture of the South, music is a huge piece of that quilt. And so we really started focusing on sourcing musicians, just like we do chefs, from this region. And so we've got a great mix of bluegrass. The Bushels have kind of become our, who are from Charleston, have kind of become our, you know, Saturday stars. And people come every year just to hear them. And they play these amazing antique instruments and this great bluegrass, but with a spin. I can usually convince them to play Billie Jean from Michael Jackson, which sounds pretty cool on a fiddle, right? So it's how people interpret the South, which I think is what's most interesting about this event. Last year, we added a surprise concert element for the people who spend the weekend with us, and Christian Bush, one half of Grammy Award-winning Sugarland, was our surprise guest. And so that was such a success. We're doing a concert again this year. The participants know there will be a concert, but who that performer is will be a surprise that will be revealed Saturday night when we introduce the performer. So that's always fun. We've certainly upped the ante. But we have some great jazz musicians who are local. Howard Paul, who's actually based in Savannah, is the president of Benedetto Guitar Company, which is this fabulous custom jazz guitar company, and he brings together a collection of jazz musicians from all over the country who play our wine dinners on Wednesday and Thursday night. We've got a great local band called Cranford Hollow. They call their style Low Country Stomp. One of their first events that they played here at Palmetto Bluff, everybody kind of thought, what is this music? I don't understand this genre, but they've made this amazing name for themselves over the last couple of years, and now they're on a, you know, on a national tour. So I think it's all about who the people are and the personalities and the story behind music, just like it is food. And there's some synergy between food and music, too, and chefs enjoy talking to musicians. So it's interesting to watch those relationships.
Absolutely. And it just sounds like one big celebration of Southern heritage. So how can people find out more about the event? And, you know, like you said, are there tickets where you can just come for a day? You can come for the whole weekend?
You are. There are. So there are a la carte tickets and weekend tickets. I'm very pleased to say that we are sold out, and it does sell out pretty early, which has also been a little surprise to us. So musictoyourmouth.com is the website. Tickets go on sale usually in June for the big November event. But next year, we have decided to add a little programming to our calendar and do one signature Music to Your Mouth event in the other seasons as well. So we'll do something in February, in May, and in August. Smaller scale events. Thinking of doing a bourbon and burn dinner in February with some guest chefs, a guest distiller, and really cooking all of the food in a field over an open fire.
Maybe some more Pappy Van Winkle.
So always coming up with new ways to tell stories.
Excellent. Jay, are you excited for the event?
Yes, ma'am.
Every year, Jay waits to hear what the Conservancy's, I don't want to say assignment, but I always kind of come to him and say, so, how about this? A couple years ago, Jay actually collected down trees on property. They put them through our sawmill, and he and the Conservancy team made custom farm tables from trees from the property that we all ate dinner at family style on Friday night, and then were able to sell as a fundraiser for the Conservancy.
Oh, excellent, excellent.
So he plays a big role, actually.
Well, and after the event's over, you know, things don't really slow down. We have the holidays coming up. So can either of you please feel free to, if you want to speak about Thanksgiving and Christmas. I know how beautiful the area is down there, and I'm sure that Palmetto Bluff throws all their weight into really creating a beautiful environment for families who are spending their holidays there.
We do. So a lot of our property owners who either have a primary home here or have a vacation home here, this really becomes their gathering spot for the holidays. The inn at Palmetto Bluff occupancy is pretty high now through the holidays, and I think it's about tradition. I've talked to a lot of property owners, and we hear that when they're deciding to build a home here, they want it to be the place where everybody gathers. And I've seen an interesting trend just from the real estate side in the last few years where, you know, when we started the project, it was the height of the real estate market and people were buying for investment. And now they're really using their houses and they're really spending time here and making it the place where their whole family comes. So Thanksgiving, in addition to the meals that we host around property, we also help people in their private homes with their meals. Our chefs and Christmas, really overnight between Thanksgiving and the next morning, we transform the village and the inn to be decorated for Christmas. This year, the Southern Living Idea House is at Palmetto Bluff, so we'll be decorating that as well. And it just becomes magical. We do a movie on our village green the second Friday of every December. We show a Christmas story on the big screen on the village green. People bring their beach chairs and blankets, and we do hot cocoa and fire pits and popcorn. And it's a really great family event. Last year, through the magic of Christmas, we made it snow for the event. So it's just fun to watch multiple generations enjoy the same thing, especially a movie like A Christmas Story, which the kids laugh, but it'll be 20 years before they understand what they're really laughing about.
Well, I do have to say, being in New York, I do love a white Christmas, but there's something special about being able to sit on a beach with a beach towel and sit outside and watch a movie at that time of year with palm trees and et cetera. So, and, you know, looking past the holidays and just really looking forward to the future, I'd love to wrap up the show by talking about the importance of Palmetto Bluff for future generations and how you're going to continue to grow and ensure that the area stays just as beautiful as it is today.
Sure. Well, Crescent Communities will be here probably for another 25 years developing the property. This isn't a quick, you know, come in and set a plan and leave. So Palmetto Bluff is envisioned to become a series of villages. The first is Wilson Village, which is primarily complete right now. And infrastructure work is underway for our second village at Moreland. And then there'll be a third village, our marina village, called Anson. So we have a couple decades of time where we'll still be here. The Conservancy will continue to drive all of those development efforts and make sure they're keeping Crescent to task and we're doing things the right way. And I just hope that, you know, future generations respect the land as we do now, and that everyone and how everyone before us did, which is evident in how the land still looks today.
Well, and it's funny, I was having a conversation with a gentleman yesterday, in fact, and we were talking about Palmetto Bluff, and he was like, oh, I've been there, I take my grandkids down there, and, you know, they own a home there, and I think that hopefully that will stay in the family so that it will just, you know, continue to be a legacy. So, Courtney, Jay, thank you so much for joining me on Native. I can't wait to come visit. And where can people find out more about Palmetto Bluff? Is there a Twitter, a webpage, Instagram? I know
Sure.
It's so beautiful.
Yep, palmettobluff.com, and our Twitter and Instagram handles are both Palmetto Bluff.
Excellent. And I did check out the new website. I really encourage everyone, if they want to learn more, to do so and check out the interactive map, because it really gives you a sense of the area and what it has to offer. So have fun.
Well, thank you for that plug.
Yeah, of course. Have fun at Music to Your Mouth, both of you. Don't party too hard. And have a great holiday season.
Thank you so much. Really appreciate
ma'am.
It.
Thank you. Enjoyed it.
That is all for Native this week. Next week, I will be speaking with one of my favorite food writers and the authority on Chinese cuisine, Fuchsia Dunlop, an absolutely not to be missed episode. As always, you can find out more on my website, briannakurtz.com, or online at BKFAF, and right here on Heritage Radio, live every Thursday morning at 11.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes Store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.